Both unfaithful partners and betrayed partners need to stop using content that they find online as a weapon against one another. If you cheated and you're watching content like this, hoping that you'll receive permission in some way to dismiss your partner's pain, you're not going to be happy with this video. And if you are the betrayed partner and you're watching this, hoping that I'm going to say something that you can send to your partner to really dig it in their back, that's also not what this is. In this video, I want to talk about how something that is very real can be turned into very unhealthy dynamics when you're trying to recover. Betrayal trauma is real. The emotional flooding, the intrusive thoughts, the panic, the rage, the grief, the way your nervous system can feel like it's on fire, those things are all real. But there's a point where betrayal trauma can turn into punishing the other person. And when that happens, the relationship stops moving forward at all. It's not moving toward healing. It's not moving toward anything except for going round and round in circles, and it's just hurting both people. One of the things that I hear a lot from betrayed partners is, it's not my fault that I feel this way. And I get it, that's true. It's not your fault that your body reacted the way that it did when you found out. It's not your fault that your sense of safety and the number of people that you feel like you can really depend on isn't there anymore. It's not your fault that your mind starts searching for danger, or that is replaying details, or asking questions, or trying to make sense of what happened. Those things are all normal and they're not your fault. But the fact that it's not your fault cannot become a blank check to then do whatever you want, say whatever you want, and act like it's okay. So for example, it might not be your fault that you feel rage, but it is still your responsibility what you do with that rage. It's not your fault that you feel unsafe, but it's still your responsibility whether you use that fear to control, degrade, threaten, or punish your partner. It's not your fault that you're triggered, but it still is your responsibility to notice when the conversation is no longer creating repair and is just in this loop. And I know that some people don't like hearing this because it sounds like I'm saying, well, it's not their fault. It is their fault. They caused this. They created the situation. They broke trust. They shattered safety. They created this thing that you're now trying to survive through. It's not about things being equal blame. But being the person who was harmed by the infidelity does not mean that you're incapable of harming now. And absolutely, the unfaithful partner does owe repair. They owe honesty, transparency, patience, accountability, a willingness to sit with and understand the damage that they've caused. And they also do need to recognize the imbalance between the parties at fault. They don't get to just say, well, you're toxic, I'm toxic, and so we're even. The person who cheated still has to become safe, tell the truth, stop hiding. But accountability does not mean that you lose the right to have any boundaries at all. Remorse does not equal becoming boundaryless. Repair does not mean that you have to sit there for 6 hours while someone screams at you on the top of their lungs, calls you names, threatens you, degrades you, and then says, well, this is your fault because you made me feel this way. That is not repair. That is just being punished for punishment's sake. There is a huge difference between the betrayed partner saying, I'm triggered, I need reassurance, I need you to understand what this did to me, and a betrayed partner saying, you don't get to have needs anymore. You don't get to be tired. You don't get to pause. You don't get to have boundaries. You don't get to be human. You caused this, and now you have to sit here and take whatever I give you. That second response does come from pain that the other person caused, but it's still destructive, and it still isn't kind or fair to either person. And something I see all the time is that if the unfaithful partner tries to set even the smallest boundary, then the betrayed partner will just say something very sarcastically like, oh, now you care about boundaries? Where were your boundaries when you cheated? And emotionally, I understand why that comes up. It's a good counterargument, and it really does feel insulting. It's like, what do you mean you violated the biggest boundary in the relationship, and now you want to talk to me about boundaries? It's like, what is the actual logical end to this? If the logic is that you failed this boundary, therefore you never have any personal boundaries or protection again, then you're just creating a prison. You just want a permanent prisoner, not an actual relationship anymore. And just to clarify, a healthy boundary doesn't mean that they can say things like, okay, you're not allowed to bring this up anymore. That's just dismissive. A healthy boundary is not saying you should be over this by now. That's minimizing. A healthy boundary can be something like, I want to talk about this. I'm not trying to avoid accountability. I can see you're hurting. I care that you're hurting. But we've been going in circles for 2 hours straight now, and we're both just getting more dysregulated and upset. We need to pause, calm down, and come back to this at a specific time. Another boundary might be, I will answer whatever questions you have. I'll be present. I will listen, but I am not willing to be screamed at or called names. Those are very different from avoidance. Another boundary might be like, listen, I'm willing to talk about this, but I'm not willing to talk about it whenever you want. We need to have some type of structure a couple times a week where we sit down and have discussions related to this. And that is good for you and it's good for me so that I'm not constantly wondering when the next onslaught of questions will be, and to give you some healthy boundaries in your own mind so that you're not thinking about it 24/7. Some containment is really helpful here. So what are the principles going on here and what is or isn't a good boundary that the unfaithful partner can have? A good boundary is around the form, the timing, and the intensity of the conversation. It's not around the topic of the conversation. Just saying this is completely off limits, we're no longer talking about the affair, that's not really fair. But timing, intensity, the way that the conversation looks, that's valid. And sometimes people will say to me that they've been working on the relationship for a long time, they put in so much energy. But then I actually get to understanding what's going on behind the scenes, and it's just them getting stuck in loops with each other for 2 hours plus at a time. It's the same conversation with the same details coming up. Nothing new is being understood. Nothing is being resolved. No one is feeling safer. Both people just become more activated. The betrayed partner is just trying to get relief. The unfaithful partner is trying to prove they're remorseful enough. The betrayed partner feels like if they stop pushing, then the unfaithful partner will get away with it. The unfaithful partner feels like if they stop taking it, that means that they're failing again. One person keeps escalating. The other person just keeps enduring. This is the furthest description possible from making progress in the relationship. You're just both getting more traumatized. Both partners need to get honest with themselves and ask, is this working? Do I need to try something different? Do I need to ask for something different from my partner? Because I'll say this, sometimes the unfaithful partner is not trying. They're not putting in the effort. They're not putting in the work. But other times they really are. They're answering questions. They're showing up. They're being transparent. They're taking responsibility. And the betrayed partner isn't yet ready to receive that. When that happens, just more punishment and lashing out on them isn't going to magically make up for that lack of safety that they're feeling. And what usually is happening is just that the betrayed partner isn't actually ready to forgive and move forward yet. And that's fine. You can be on different timelines. But that doesn't mean you have to be beating each other up while waiting. Like just taking time apart from each other, literally, in a physical sense, or just in terms of how much you're talking directly about the relationship, can be extremely helpful. Because if you're saying with your words that you're choosing to stay and to work on the relationship, but then your actions are just constantly trying to keep them in shame, fear, and emotional debt, then you're not actually trying to reconcile. And so just admit that to yourself, that you're not actually ready to reconcile. And then the relationship can look more like patiently waiting instead of pretending that you're working on the relationship, but it's actually just insults. It's a very understandable place to be after betrayal. Like maybe you think that you do want to try to reconcile with them, but you're not emotionally ready to do that. That's completely understandable. The focus should be on regulating yourself. The focus should be on your own personal healing journey. And the focus on the unfaithful partner, it could be in supporting you along that journey, helping you find someone to work with, helping you have extra time to just go and do something fun on your own, helping with any financial or stress-related burden that's been placed on them. Now, obviously, with a video like this, I want to make it very clear not to take this and run in the wrong direction if you're the unfaithful partner. Because if you are still lying or hiding or minimizing or saying, I don't remember when you do remember, or I don't know why I did it without making any effort to be introspective, when you're getting defensive, then your problem is not that your partner isn't willing to receive the safety that you're providing. The problem is that you're still not safe. So really, the overarching theme here is that both partners need to be introspective about where they are failing and where they're succeeding. Stop trying to find content online that backs up your conviction that the other person is 100% to blame. Content like this should be used to help you develop a game plan of what you want to do. It should be used for your own personal healing. It should be used for empathy to understand the other person. The second that it's turning into a weapon to send it to the other person to say, see, this person agrees with me. See, I told you. See, you're the problem. See, you're abusive. See, you're avoidant. See, you're a narcissist. I'd almost just recommend wrapping things up. neither of you are actually committed to the relationship if that's how you're approaching it. You're more interested in being right than repairing what's wrong. Healing requires humility. This has always been true, both individually and in a relationship. Individually, healing often comes to a place of recognizing that there were things that you were wrong about. There are shameful emotions you've been avoiding. And in a relationship too, it often does come down to there are things that I was doing wrong, even if it just means putting up with behavior that you shouldn't have been. And I do want to emphasize again that if you were betrayed, your pain absolutely does deserve care. It deserves understanding, it deserves space, it deserves to be taken seriously. It just doesn't give you endless permission to be cruel. And if you are the unfaithful partner, your shame may be intense, your guilt may be real, your regret may be sincere, but those don't give you permission to just collapse or avoid talking about things because your shame is quote-unquote too big to deal with right now. You both have responsibilities even though your feelings may or may not be valid. You both have responsibility to one another if you both mean it when you say you want to reconcile. Not equal responsibility for the affair, obviously, but responsibility for what comes next. And that shouldn't be news to you. All relationships are a joining of responsibility for your own and for the other person's care.